Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Oh, I like this. So I was last up here speaking to you on the last Sunday of 2025. The question is, can anyone remember what I was speaking about? That's a good shout. Owen, can you remember what I was speaking about last time? You heckled me and everything. I'm not surprised you can't remember. Anyway, I was talking about socks. Sort of, anyway. So the message I was trying to convey was that the gift of salvation that every Christian owns is much like those socks. That was the time before, but well remembered. I can't even remember when that was. So it's a reminder that the gift of salvation that every Christian owns was much like those socks. It's a fantastic gift that I didn't pay for, that I took no part in getting. I didn't wrap it. All I did was put them on. And Owen rightly applauded that I could put my socks on. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? And that's every Christian story. We've all been given this amazing gift. It's not a gift we paid for, not a gift we could afford. It's a gift that we can simply accept, and in the case of socks, wear with pride. Not pride in what we've done. We can't boast. Look at me. I can put on socks. But we can boast and have pride in Jesus. And that's what Paul is saying in his letter to the church in Rome. He says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, that means being made right with God, being saved, since we've been justified by faith, we've not had to do anything other than just choose to follow Jesus. Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we choose to trust in Jesus, we are made right with God. And that gives us our future with him. So this morning, I want to spend a bit of time thinking about exploring what that might actually mean for us as Christians. What should our reaction to this gift be? So for those of you that have got your notebooks, Isaac, I've got 3 points today. So first point is that you have an amazing gift. The second point is that you have a purpose. And then the third point is going to be that you need to put that into practice. So I'm going to start by reading the first 10 verses from Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll use that to hang our thinking around. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what did I say point one was? You have an amazing gift. Now, we are all sinners. It's not a nice thing to think about, to acknowledge, but it's true. Now, I'm assuming that you're not all murderers, but what about stealing? Perhaps not from a shop, but that pen from work, or how fair was that half the cake you gave your spouse? Always honour your father or mother? What about just wanting something that someone else has, you shall not covet? Or how about simply putting nothing ahead of God? Now, Paul said it at the beginning of the chapter we just read. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. To some degree or other, we've all fallen short. We were disobedient. We gratified the cravings of our flesh, and we were deserving of wrath. Well, the gift of Jesus is that by dying on that cross, he took up that death that was ours. We have been raised up to eternal life, a future where God will show the incomparable riches of his grace. Now, last week, we sang the song In Christ Alone. It's one of my favourite songs, by the way, so music people do that lots. It's got a fantastic instrumental for a viola. Any stringed instrument, I suppose, maybe not guitars, they don't count, but especially the viola. Anyway, that song speaks of this gift of love and righteousness. Every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. Sin's curse has lost its grip on me, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Now we're all sinners. We cannot pay for salvation, but thankfully Jesus could. He did, and he has. Now Jesus has given me this wonderful gift, and all I had to do was accept it. Now perhaps you're sat there thinking, that's all right for you, Ian. I'm sure you've occasionally got a bit cross. Of course God can forgive you and use you, but not me. I've got too much baggage, too much in my head. God can't use me. Well, if that's what you're thinking, look at the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote those words we've read today. Paul is first introduced to us by his Greek name Saul in the book of Acts. He's approving of Stephen's murder. He's going off house by house, dragging away men and women, Christians, and putting them in prison. He's trying to destroy the church. Jesus himself says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That's in Acts 9. So Paul didn't start out his relationship with Christians, with Christ, very well. He was culpable of murder and imprisonment. And yet, God went on to use him as one of the main pillars of the early church. Now, if God can use Paul, he can use you. When God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he's saying that to all of us here today as well. So point one, salvation is and can only ever be a gift. Now, if you sat there thinking that you can't accept this gift, that you don't deserve it, welcome to the club. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you've earned. It is a gift. So point two, you have a purpose. Now all gifts require a response. Firstly, you have to choose. Do you accept the gift or do you reject it? Now I really, really hope and pray for each one of you that you have or you will accept this gift of salvation. This gift is already paid for, already delivered. Jesus is at the door, knocking, offering. But then what? You get a gift at Christmas. What do you do? Hopefully you don't put it in a drawer, hide it away and forget about it. If it's socks, you wear it. You enjoy it. You share it. You let it change how you live. So what is your reaction to Jesus' gift? Now Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are not saved by good works. Paul covers this in verse 5. It's by grace you are saved. But we were saved and created to do good works. Doing good isn't extra for a Christian. It's what we were made for. God lovingly formed us. It says in the Psalms, he knit me together in my mother's womb. We weren't an afterthought. None of us sat here are an accident. We were made by an active God, intentionally and with purpose. A purpose so that we could do good. And it goes on in Ephesians. He equips us for that good he calls us to do. It's a reassurance that verse 10 closes with. God prepared in advance for us to do. The natural response to the gift of salvation isn't guilt. It's not trying to repay God. It's living a life of freedom, a life reflecting gratitude, a life that does good. Which brings me to point three. You need to put it into practice. Okay, so God has made me. He wants me to be doing good. Jesus has saved me. I've accepted this free gift of salvation. I want to show Jesus how thankful I am for this gift. I want to show him how much I love him. I want to do good works. But how do I actually know what to do? Well, firstly, don't expect to always just know. Paul talks about gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. We can't simply trust our bodies, our cravings. You know, modern culture says that if it feels right, then it is right. But that's simply not true. Eating lots of chocolate feels right to me, but it's not good. So how do we know the good works that God has for us? Well, we can look in two places. Firstly, we can look in the Bible. It's a highway code, if you will. God's word shows us his character. It gives us the general instructions. Much as the highway code tells us to stop at a red light, the Bible tells me not to commit adultery, not to steal. And the highway code, even in its more revised form, it tells me to be considerate for the weak, puts obligations on the strong. I know I need to look after the poor because it says so in here. You don't need a vision from a burning bush to know that you should be kind to that shop assistant. It tells us to be kind in here. But secondly, we look for special revelation. Now that sounds posh, but effectively it's just prayer. You're not going to find detailed, specific instructions in the Bible for every situation. It was written in the wrong language for the first part of that. It doesn't tell me which charity to give to. There's general guidance on looking after the poor, the weak, but nothing in here, at least as far as I'm aware, says give this to Christian Aid or give that to Tear Fund or anything like that. The specifics we need to seek in prayer. Now, prayer, as I define it, is simply speaking with God. Now, that can be sitting with hands together, eyes closed. It can be singing worship songs or a word of prophecy or speaking in tongues. I lump all of those in the banner of prayer. So if the Bible is like the highway code, prayer is a bit more like your sat-nav. It gives us guidance, shows us choices. Sometimes it says stop, do a U-turn. And sometimes I think God just wants us to get on with things. Delights in seeing what we choose. You know, my sat-nav will give me different options that I can take and different routes because they all get to the same place. You know, sometimes I think he's a bit like a parent just waiting to see what I'll choose to do. Either way, we need to remember to listen and give God the space to respond. And I think that's key. It's so easy, and I get into a bad habit of that with prayer, to drown out God's voice with our own. So where does that leave us? It leaves me having a drink. So if you're taking this gift of salvation, if you're hiding it in a drawer, or only getting it out on special occasions, perhaps every Sunday,
You know, if I haven't seen any good works or evidence of this gift in your life, then, you know, I'm going to be delighted and have the biggest smile on my face when I see you in the next life worshipping God alongside me. But I implore you, show off this gift now. React to the love of God now. Now, perhaps you accepted this gift many, 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 many years ago. Perhaps you got used to it, forgotten what a gift it was. Again, I implore you to remind yourself of what God has done for you. Read the scriptures, sing the songs, remember what you've been given. And then tell the world, show the world. Take that love that God has given you, that God has shown you, and show that to others. Just go out there and do good. Now, perhaps you're struggling under the burden of trying somehow to repay God. Please don't. You can't. And to be frank, if you try and pay for a gift, it's just a bit of an insult to the giver, really. Just accept his help, his love. Or perhaps you're sat there silently, I've got this covered, I'm always helping. Well, if that's you, just check your heart. Are you doing works because it's comfortable, or because you want to be seen to be doing good? Or is it a genuine reflex, a genuine response and reaction to the overwhelming love that God has shown you? Good works are what we were made to do. That's what that verse in Ephesians said. That God made us for good works. So remember, you've been given a gift that you could never earn. You were made for a purpose. So don't leave that gift in a drawer. Don't hide it away. Get out there. Share it with the world and let the world see the love that God has shown you. Just gonna pray. Yeah, Father God, I thank you that it is such a reassurance to know that we were made by you, that we were crafted by you for a purpose. And Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for everyone here that you can help us to really understand that purpose. That you can be showing us how to act, how to behave, how to treat people. And Lord, I just pray that you can help us to live the life that you made us for. You know, we can look at a greyhound running at full speed or something and look at the wonder of an animal doing the thing that it was made for. And yeah, Lord, I just pray that we can look around at everyone in this church and see that everyone is doing the thing that they were made to do. And Lord, I pray that as we go out from here this week that you can be encouraging us to think about that. To think about how we can fulfill your purpose and how we can show our love for you, Lord. Amen.